thankful that all of you could come this day for our dedication service. We are so thankful to be in this building. The Lord has worked everything out, and those of you who don't know, I'll probably give a bit of the testimony of how God worked things out during this message. If you turn with me to Psalm 126. Psalm 126, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. Psalm 126, in verse 1, it says, "When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you once again for your great mercy and grace to us, Lord, for all that you have done for us, Lord, things that you give us richly to enjoy. Lord, we pray as we look into your word, as we contemplate the great things you have done for us, Lord, that we would remember them, Lord, that we would honor you, and that we would live lives that honor you in all that we do. We just pray that you'd bless this service this morning, Lord, and bless your people. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And we rejoice today in what the Lord has done. And it is something that as a believer that really when we look back and we think of this verse where it says the Lord hath done great things for them, that if we look in our lives, we realize along the way that there's been so many great things that the Lord has done for us. And we know the greatest thing that He has done for all of us is to provide us with salvation. That the thought that we have that we know we have an eternal home with Him in heaven forever. That we don't have to be afraid of death anymore. That He has us in the palm of His hand, that no one can pluck us from His hand. And that we have a relationship with Him. And we know that He sent His Son to die for our sins, that we were enemies of God, that our human efforts to keep God's law were not sufficient. And He sent His Son to die for us, to become just like us, that we were not able to make ourselves just before God, that all our efforts were in vain, but yet that He sent His Son while we were enemies of God. That we remember where we were before we were saved, and we think of where we are now, and we think even of where we would be right now if the Lord had not saved us. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, and beginning in verse 1 it says, Ephesians 2 verse 1, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." Now we remember where we were in times past, the hopelessness we had to our lives, that there was nothing that we could cling to, that we'd live a life for ourselves and it was empty and there's no purpose to it, no future in it. But when we are dead in sins, that the Lord has quickened us together with Christ, that by grace we are saved. We see verse 11 as well. It says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ." That we can be thankful for that. That we look back and we, as Christians, as believers, we can testify God hath done great things for us. for us, that we know that we didn't deserve it, that we could not earn it, that this gift of salvation was to whosoever will, that when we cried out in our sin and our guilt to the Lord, that He saved us and that He was merciful to us. And really, if that was the only thing that the Lord ever did for us, that would in itself be a reason for us to rejoice day after day and to give glory to Him. But we realize that the Lord is not chintzy when He hands out His blessings to us, that He gives us all things richly to enjoy, that the blessings that we have each day is His children. I know with myself, and I'm sure many of you can testify as well of either married, that the Lord bringing someone into your life, that it was just such a blessed thing. I know with myself that I was a bachelor and I was 25, and there was kind of that one verse says, without hope, that it just seemed that there was no one interested or anything, and I prayed, and then here the Lord had a girl for me that was way on the west coast of the continent, and I'd never heard of her or met her before, but the Lord worked it all out. That it was actually her pastor called me. I was praying for 2 or 3 days, and the phone rang. I thought, oh, this must be the answer to prayer, and it was my pastor. And he said, well, there's a pastor Prish that has a daughter. I was wondering if you wanted to correspond with her, and we did, and we got to know one another, and we got married very quickly after that. And it's something that we can testify how good God has been to us. I know the children that the Lord has given us, of what a blessing it is, every one of them. Even though sometimes you, as parents, they're not always seem to be a blessing, you know that you can be so thankful for them, that I know with each of them I wouldn't trade them for anything, that they're such a blessing. They're a great responsibility, but they are a tremendous blessing, and I'm looking forward to seeing them grow up, and I pray that they will serve the Lord throughout the remainder of their lives. And it is something that we see, that we see the blessings of God, of even how He has brought us together as a congregation, and we think of now just in this past while, of how He has given us this building, of how it has worked out, that we can be so thankful. That I've mentioned others that I know of different churches that they've celebrated their 25th anniversary and they're still renting a hall, that they haven't got a building yet, and for us to have one right now is such a blessing. And it is something that we want to testify that it was something that God has done, that His hand was in it, that we couldn't have done it ourselves. And it's something that as we study the Scriptures and we learn from it, and it is a blessing, and we read of miracles done in the lives of God's people, in the lives of Christians, and sometimes we have a tendency to think, well, that's in the past, that the Lord worked miracles in the past, but He doesn't really do that anymore. But it's something that we can testify to, that the Lord can do the miraculous. He's still the same God that He has always been. He hasn't changed. And we see that when He answers our prayers, when we see Him work, it is just such a blessing that we see the miracles that He does. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, it says, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And we see that He is a God that is omnipotent, that He is able to do not simply what we ask or think, not simply above what we ask or think, and not simply abundantly above, but exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That it is something that we can see how great His grace is that He has shed to us, and how great things He has done for us. We think how it testifies in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him." That He has done great things. And I know the history of as we've come to get this building, that we looked at it and we felt that we should pursue it. And so it was my thought, okay, well, we'll go to a bank and we'll do this. And I had all of my plans of, well, I got different things I can put up for collateral. I can try to do these other things. And I was figuring I was going to try to make it all work whatever way I had to. But it was 2 weeks before I could even get in to see someone at the bank. And it was about 2 weeks till they actually gave me an answer after I met with them. And it was all these hoops that we had to jump through, and I didn't know how we were going to do it. And I remember being very discouraged. But Lord just kind of told me, well, at least keep trying. You would regret not giving it another try. And so, and as I called different people, that everyone was still, let's try something else. Let's go to a different bank. And then the Lord just started to work. That there was people that gave. Some people said, "Well, I'll put up some money for a loan for a bit." And it just came together. We got the money together, and then we had some other churches gave. And I was hoping that it would come in the mail this week, so I could actually read you the letter. But about a week and a half ago, I was at work, and my phone rang. And of course, you want to take it quickly because you're in the middle of work, you're on a job and things. And it was a pastor from Pensacola, Florida, the church that Brother Glenn Weeks, the evangelist that came here in April, that it was his church. And he said, "Well, how are you doing?" He said, "Well, good." And he said, "Well, we heard about your building, and we wanted to help you with it. And as a church, we voted overwhelmingly to give you $20,000 towards the purchase of your building." And it was just something that you try to go back to work and try to act like nothing has happened. It was not a very easy thing to do, but it's just it's been amazing to see God's hand. And just even with this building, the price that it was at that they had, and then even finding out from Dennis yesterday, he said, "Well, this is unique, because usually with the Ukraine Orthodox Church, they don't give someone else the building. They don't sell it. They burn it to the ground and sell the land, that because it's a holy place, that they would never do that." And so why we had an exception is something that we testify that the Lord worked it out. And it's been a blessing, I know, with as we've interacted with people from the Orthodox Church, that we could be a blessing to them, and that they're very happy that we were able to have it, and that it could be still used as a church. And so it is something that we see, that it was God's working. And with everything in our lives, all the good things that happen, all the blessings, all the fruit that we see, that we want to give God the glory, that He is the one that is deserving it of it, that it is not unto us, as it says in Psalm 115, but unto the Lord be the glory. That He is the one that is deserving of it, that He has done great things for us. And that's something that we want to understand too, that when we see God's hand upon something, when we see what He has done, that it is such an encouragement, because we know that it's not our efforts, it's not just us doing it, but that He's helping, that He's blessing it. And we see Psalm 127, it says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." And it's something that we don't want our work to be in vain, the labor that we do, and to see the Lord's hand is such a blessing and an encouragement. We see also in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, if you turn there with me, Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 14, it says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that men should fear before Him. And that is the thing, that we testify to God's glory of what He has done. And it is such a blessing to know that these great things that He has done for us, that it isn't something that just happened in times past to a previous generation. I know even reading of some of the accounts of different revivals that prior to it, that everyone thought that it was something that happened in the past, that God didn't work that way anymore, and how the Lord totally changed their thoughts, and they saw that this God that was the God of their forefathers is the same God that He is now. And we can be so thankful for the great things that He has done for us, and we can give Him the glory for it. And so, as we see what God has done, we want to ask us, well, what is our response? How should we respond to the great things that God has done? If you turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 12. And this is Samuel speaking to the children of Israel. 1 Samuel 12 and verse 24. He spoke to his people and he said, Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things He hath done for you. And that is the thought, that we want to consider the great things that He has done for us, that we want to be thankful for them, that we would love Him all the more, that we would not ever be forgetful of that we would show our thankfulness by the lives that we live, that because God has done great things for us, then we would seek to do great things for Him, that we would give Him our lives, our hearts. And we know that we, as humans, we have a tendency to forget, but that we would remember them. If you turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 4 in verse 9, Deuteronomy 4 and verse 9, it says, Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them unto thy sons and thy sons' sons. That not only are we to remember them, but it is something that we're to teach them to our children. And it is a blessing even today that Garrison, he asked, well, why are we going to this church? And I said, well, because God gave it to us. And just to share that with us. And just we can testify to that, to our children, of the great things that God has done. And it's something that we understand that if something great has happened, and it's just with anything, that if someone gets a good crop off, they want to tell all their neighbors. I know it's even when things were so dry, if you got a big rainfall, that you wanted to tell someone that you got a couple inches of rain, and that we want to share that. And that's the way that it should be, that we think back of all the great things that God has done, both recently in the past, and especially in dealing with our salvation, and it is something that we want to share it, that we just want to tell people, God has done something great for me. If you turn with me to Mark chapter 5. And this is speaking of the maniac of Gadara, this man that was possessed with many devils, that the Lord cast the devil out of him, the devils out of him rather, and that they found him clothed and in his right mind, this one who was so violent and so wicked. And we see in verse 18 of Mark chapter 5, when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him, that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things God had done for him, and all men did marvel. And you can think of it with this man, and as the Lord told him, well, go to home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. You could think in many ways the life that he has lived, the devil possession and everything else, that probably he didn't have that many friends left. I'm certain that no one would really have, if he would have said, well, let's go to the tombs and run around naked and cut ourselves with stones, that I don't think he'd have too many takers that would want to come along with him. That he didn't have many friends, but we see that he told the ones that he had, and then he began to publish in Decapolis. That we understand Decapolis was this, it's a place of 10 cities on the other side of the Galilee. And so he went through all these places telling everyone that he could about the great things that God had done for him. That he was had such a miserable existence, but God had saved him out of it, and he wanted to share it. And so that's what we desire to do as well. And knowing what great things God has done, seeing his hand, seeing him work, that it's something that we, because of that, we should have a desire to continue to serve him, that we would follow him, that we would become more and more devoted unto him. That we know the verse that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. But because we know his hand in these things, that we can say with 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, that Paul says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That we can have that assurance that when the Lord answers prayer, when the Lord works and we see him work, that we know our labor is not in vain. And that it is such a blessing to know that. So this day we seek to dedicate this building to God's use, to consecrate it, to set it apart, to give it over to him. That is not something that we can make this building holy in that sense. We can dedicate it, we can put it to a use, but we do not have that power. We realize, of course, that a church is the people, not the building. And this is a place for us to meet. And we realize, of course, that God cannot be contained within these walls. As Solomon himself declared when he dedicated the temple, he says, well, the heavens cannot contain the Lord, how much less this house that I have builded. And it's something that we want this to be a building in which God is always honored. In all that we say, all that we do, even the thoughts of our hearts, that he is honored and blessed. And we realize that we can worship him in any place on this earth, and we should, really, our lives should be spent in worship and praise of him, but we want this to be a place especially where we can come together and worship him, we can fellowship with one another, and where the presence of God is particularly felt as we gather around his word and as we sing together. And we realize that God has given us this building, and it's something that as we dedicate it to him, that we want to give it back to him. That it is for his use, for his glory, for his purposes. And it is the same thought that we want to do in our own lives. That he has given us new life in Christ. That before we had no purpose, no hope, no direction, no future. But he has given us all of that now. He's given us new life. And because of the new life that we have, that we want to give it back to him. That our lives belong to him to be used for his purpose, for his service, for his honor, and for his glory. And so as we dedicate this building this morning, we also want to dedicate ourselves to his service. That we would walk worthy of him. We would show gratitude by our lives and by our words of all the great things that God has done for us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for the great things you have done for us, Lord. We thank you for your salvation, Lord, that none of us deserved, none of us could ever earn, Lord, but that you gave it freely, Lord, that where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. We are so thankful for you reaching down and saving us, Lord, from our sins and giving us a new life, a new purpose. Lord, we pray that you would Just bless us, Lord. We thank you for just all the things you have done, and we thank you, Lord, for this building that you have given that we can worship in. Lord, we pray that, Lord, we give it to you for your glory. Lord, we pray you would help us that we might always honor you in this building, that this building can be a testimony to you, that the people therein are seeking you or are have a heart of love and compassion for others, Lord, and that seek to do right in all that they do, Lord. Just we pray, Lord, you would help us. And Lord, we just as we dedicate this building, Lord, we dedicate ourselves that you might use us, Lord, in this community, amongst the lives of our friends and family, in the lives of the lost around us, Lord, that we might be witnesses for you, that we can share what great things the Lord has done in our lives, Lord, so that others too might come to know you as Savior, and that they might be strengthened and encouraged in their walk with the Lord. We just thank you, Lord, again for all that you have done for us, Lord, and we pray that your blessing would be upon this building and upon us as your people. And we just pray you would be with us this day, Lord, and may you have all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand once more and we'll turn to hymn number 10 and we'll sing Near the Cross, hymn number 10. On the first,
Jesus came me near the cross, there a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, in the cross, may my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond.